Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, we find ourselves in Ghent.
I know, that's a surprise, isn't it?
It surprised both of us this morning when I said, come on, let's walk out from our city centre hotel because there's something I want to show you. Quite how far it was.
And ended up being a bit of a schlep.
It did. But yeah. We're here now, sitting on some rather damp steps.
Yeah. How many steps I've already done.
How many have you done? Oh, can I guess?
Go on. No, it's like 2,729. But that's just from the hotel to here, basically.
So the Holy Grail is always 10,000, isn't it? Like to have an active lifestyle.
That's easy.
It's not very active. It's not much, is it?
That's like before lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've barely
So where are we, Ned?
Well, we're in the St. Peter's Plain, the big square. Ghent Railway Station, for those of you who know, is called St. Peter's. And it's quite a way, as we've just discovered, from the actual city centre. The train lines don't come right into the centre.
It's so beautiful. They wouldn't let trains
why would you do that? Why would you put great big train lines through the heart of medieval Ghent? You wouldn't do it, David.
No.
So, but the railway station is named after the Abbey of St. Peter's that we're just looking at, that we have just snuck into, and the Easter Sunday service is underway.
Yeah, and I got a snap of some Easter propaganda. Imagery.
Propaganda, is that the right word?
No, it's not.
Religious iconography?
Yeah.
Stroke propaganda?
Stroke souvenir. Yeah, so
you took a picture of our Lord.
Our Lord Jesus, basically.
Having been taken down from the cross.
In the arms of Mary.
Yeah.
And sent it to Nicole as a happy Easter image. She replied, such joy. But Easter is my wife's absolutely favourite holiday of the year.
I don't really get that.
I've told that to Ben as well from Sports Tours International, and he didn't get it either. I don't think many people do, but I can tell you my house is like it's very much running close to Christmas, Easter. In just the seriousness with which it's taken.
But that's, for me, that's Easter. It's just like a rubbish Christmas.
It's exact. Well, not in my house, it's not.
No, but clearly not. So how does that manifest itself?
Well,
is there lots of
there
bunnies?
Was huge Easter bunnies. Egg hunts was kind of put together. There's an Easter tree that was bought last weekend and decorated with eggs and things.
Sorry, an Easter tree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's unusual.
Well, it's an olive tree that we've put in a pot that we can plant afterwards.
That's very nice.
Yeah. Nicole laid the Easter table last night, a table filled with decorations. And
chocolate, hopefully.
And chocolate, loads of chocolate. Yeah. 58 eggs were scattered around the house.
58?
Yeah, of different sizes.
Is there a reason why it's 58?
Nope, I don't think so. Although Nicole might correct us on that.
Okay.
And they had bunny pancakes that were like all shaped into bunny heads for breakfast. With ears and everything.
Okay, she really likes Easter.
Oh, it's off the scale. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm here. So again, that was not the best planning, because when decided to do this, didn't even cross my mind that it was on the second favourite annual holiday in our house.
So when you hear of the cycling world, cycling's Holy Week, that doesn't ring any bells?
No, is that why it's called the Holy Week?
God, David. It always coincides with Easter, doesn't it?
I did not know it always coincided with Easter.
Well, Easter changes its date.
Yes,
so sometimes Paris-Roubaix is Easter Sunday. And sometimes, Ronde van Vlaanderen is Easter Sunday.
That's why it's called the Holy Week.
And that's why it's called the Holy Week.
I thought just because it was holy for cycling.
But it
like
is,
these
but
monuments.
Yeah, but it's there's a synchronicity. There's
a direct correlation.
There's a direct correlation. That's the word I'm after. Yes. I can't believe you didn't know that.
Well, because it's obvious. I had no idea that Easter was the same time as this week. Otherwise, I probably would have second guessed coming up here for this.
Describe the scene, David, because I've been in some surreal places with you over the years, but this is pretty odd.
This is pretty odd. Actually, you know what it reminds me of? Actually, a little bit like St. Petersburg. kind of that Russian sort of
yes,
square.
Yes.
With these sort of.
I know what you mean. It's the white stucco.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of colonnade vibes and the trees planted out and the cobbled square. Yeah.
And it's very sort
empty.
Of all Puritan and kind of lovely and simple.
Yeah.
And it's dead quiet here.
Incredibly quiet.
And the abbey, we're just facing the domed kind of
Abbey of St. Peter's.
Yeah, it's and we went to lovely. Yeah.
The reason that I took you to the Abbey of St. Peter's is because in the Middle Ages, for around about 250 years, the London borough where I live, Lewisham, belonged to the Abbey of St. Peter's in Ghent.
No, it didn't.
It's their personal property. It had been granted to them by somebody. And so Lewisham used to belong to the abbey, specifically the Abbey of Ghent.
Huh.
So what you're looking at there is not the original abbey, I don't think. That's Baroque Rococo, isn't it? So
yeah,
I'm saying that that's comes a lot later.
It's not like medieval.
No, not at all.
There's nothing medieval going
on
there.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest, because it's got a big dome and it's beautiful actually, compressive building, church. But I'm going to suggest that some of that was at least funded by monies raised in Lewisham.
Huh.
A council tax, if you will. That, you know, in a similar way to the people that I pay. They collect my bins. They collect my bins on a Friday morning. But in this case, it's not bins, but the granite of the Abbey of St. Peter's that the burghers of Lewisham contributed to.
I wonder if you, as a citizen of Lewisham...
Can drive my sheep through there or
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Some
smoke a pipe in there or something like that.
Podcast in there. Yeah,
David, it's a Tour of Flanders.
I know.
And we're here with Sports Tour Internationals.
I know.
Sports Tour Internationals. Got my S in the wrong place. Yeah.
So with them, because they organise trips like this to take fans to races, and people did the Cyclosportif yesterday, which we did not do because we're sane.
Yep.
Although
you could have done.
Yeah, but...
So
we're here going to watch the race, going to go out. We've got Ben from Sports Tours who's going to take us around. We're a little bit... But to be honest with you, any bike race, it's a little bit of a wing and a prayer kind of going around. This one is
particularly
kind of crazily so.
Yeah.
And I think I'm hedging a lot of bets. We've chosen our first location, which is where? Plugstadt or something?
No, it's, what is it? Holden.
Okay.
I don't know.
So anyway, it's the first cobbled
section. Yeah, it's the first cobbled section.
Yeah. Which That's gives us, the only reason we've chosen that one, because it then gives us a good margin of error for finding the next spots. But I'm fairly counting on, because I think I've done this once before. If you get there...
What do you mean you've done it once before?
I did Paris-Roubaix with kind of a random visit years ago when I had a broken collarbone.
Did you?
I went to the VIPs of Garmin.
Oh, right. And you jumped around a bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there we were lucky because we had a Belgian soigneur who was all over it.
Yeah.
But if you get some local fans who are kind of take you under their wing...
Yeah.
They'll kind of then tell you where to go. You follow them and you end up...
I'm hoping that's the case.
I'm hoping that's the case, because otherwise it's kind of... It's going to be tricky, but we'll do it.
Yeah,
we're going to get to see the race.
Yeah.
Watch Matthew van der Poel win.
Both races as well, because Vos and Kopecky will be in action later and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
So, looking forward. It's a shame. Oh, wow, isn't it?
It's a real shame. It's horrific. I mean, it was just... That whole... It's teamed, three riders out. Three riders operated on.
Yeah. Well, Jasper Stuyven as well from Lidl.
Yeah.
It's Jasper Stuyven. Yeah. But
God, what a mess.
Yeah.
You feel for it when he's supposed to... I tell you what I thought about that as well afterwards was, you know, this time last year was giving Gent Wevelgem away.
Yeah.
It's like you think you've got it's all under your control, then all of a sudden the years go by.
How many monuments has Wout van Aert won?
None.
No, that's not correct.
He's won one, Flanders.
One. No.
No?
He's won one.
Roubaix.
No.
Ah.
He's won one.
San Remo.
San Remo.
San Remo, good.
But one monument.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it? Yeah.
One of the greatest riders of his generation. One of the greatest riders ever?
Yeah. But will he be remembered? It's only if you've seen it, because if you've seen it, see, this is the importance of winning monuments, etc., is that then you don't have to have seen it to know it, because it's on the palmares.
Yes.
So you can only say Wout van Aert. For those of us who have witnessed him during his career,
yes,
we can always say in a romantic way he was one of the greatest we've ever seen, but the palmares won't say the same thing.
But that's cool in
Isn't
a way.
It?
That's like, you can romanticise that.
That's true.
I've just romanticised it.
You've just romanticised it. We've just romanticised it.
Yeah, well, you've set it up and I've gone with it.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I like that.
Yeah.
So he'll become, in the years to come, starting now, as of this morning, he'll become the hipster's greatest rider ever.
Oh, 100%. Because you have to have been there.
You have to have been there. Yeah, so in years to come, like, why do you say this about Wout van Aert? You wouldn't understand unless you saw him race. You wouldn't understand. Oh. It's a bit like in football, George Best.
Yeah.
You know, he never won the World Cup. He played for Northern Ireland, so he didn't win the World Cup.
Yeah.
But he was the greatest footballer ever.
Yeah.
Because you had to have seen him
you
play.
You had to have seen him play.
Mm.
Nice.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. This is great. The sun's out. We've got the Tour of Flanders to look forward to. And you now know a bit more about the Abbey of St. Peter's in Ghent and its historical collection with the London Borough of Lewisham than you did 20 minutes ago. Oh, and we should probably play the title music.
Oh, yes, this is important.
Because it has an important bit of messaging attached to it. Never Strays Far is proud to be supported by BICMO Cycle Insurance, protecting the world's riders and the places we ride. Head to BICMO.com and use the code NSF24 on their quote page to get 12 months of award-winning BICMO insurance for the price of 11. Terms apply. So this is it. This is game on now. This is where it all begins. And the Tour of Flanders is underway now. Ben from Sports Tours International, after a shaky start, David, getting out of the car park, has got us. Well, first of all, what happened with the car park situation?
We had to find the car park, which actually wasn't so technical. Then pulled out into the wrong circulation in the car park, which is a bit stressful because Ghent was very busy this morning. Had a minor little hunt for the parking ticket.
Yeah.
And then, as you called it, the reach of shame.
The reach of shame to
get the ticket into the machine. Then we were out. Then we were pretty good for about 5Ks. Then we did a little turnaround. So it's been basically classic transfer sort of behaviour. But saying that, we have now been delivered by Ben to the first cobbled section.
Yeah.
And
effortlessly.
Effortlessly. Lippenhovenstraat. The sun is out. You can hear by the sound of the vehicles coming past that this is proper cobbles. This is not the nastiest cobblestones. We're here, this tiny village. You can barely call it a village, really, or a hamlet. There's a farm building just to the right of us, and a kind of like series of very Belgian archetypal Flemish terraced workers' cottages just to the left. And
but they're obviously connoisseurs because they strung a banner up between a lamppost, two lampposts. And what does it say on it? It
says, De Kasseien maken de koers.
Which means? Translated means, the cobbles that make the race.
Cobbles make the race. We're near Zottegem. And yeah, there's a surprising amount of vehicles coming through, actually. And a smattering of good folk have arrived at the side of the road. But I think it's going to be fairly busy by the time the race comes through here, David. I've got a feeling.
Tell you what, my first takeaway is we're dealing with like serious fans here because they don't waste their time turning up too early. I think they know what they're doing. I think they come in, they do hit and runs on the sectors.
Yeah.
So
cobble jumpers, sector jumpers.
Cobble jumpers, sector jumpers. Yeah, so I think we're going to learn as the day goes on, and I think we're going to have to tag along because Ben's got a brilliant bit of planning in place. But by the looks of it, it might not require so much planning, but judging by how the Flandrians do this. So I think we need to piggyback some of their... I've already seen two guys parked out. There were two cars parked on the cobbles.
Actually next on the race route.
Race route with their cool boxes in the back.
I know, they're having a sandwich. I've got sandwich jealousy. Did you?
Slightly, yeah.
So I think we need to sort of do some buddy system at some point.
Earlier on today, you upset Catholics by calling religious art propaganda.
Yeah. And little did I know that was just the beginning.
Never Strays Far has been embroiled in a potentially even more explosive controversy, literally.
Well, it's not our fault. It's very... This actually is propaganda. because yes. There's we were very excited standing here waiting when a gentleman and some small children were walking along handing out flags.
Yes.
Like big flags.
Tiny little
flags.
Paper ones and huge ones attached to the stick.
I got a huge one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've fastened the Never Strays Far flag to the big one. We put on a lamppost.
Literally nailing your flag to the mast of this particular course.
And then because
not
you've
even
had
metaphorically, literally.
And then because we've got some time sitting here waiting, you've been sitting reading the small print on the flag.
So the Flandrian flag we have been provided with comes from the Flamse Volksbeweging, which is the Flemish People's Movement, and they are proponents of Flemish independence and separatism. Now, the point of difference between the official Flemish flag, I've subsequently discovered, is that in the official Flemish flag, and we've just seen one of them come past us, the claws and the tongue of the dragon are red. On our flag, everything's black, and that is identifiably and quantifiably Flemish separatism that we are now supporting. And I don't know whether we're comfortable with that, really.
Well, I think unfortunately, we can't play dumb now, but I think I'm going to have to because the flags are so good. There's more coming by. Look at her handing them out to children. They're handing them out to children.
Veel te vaak gezworven in het holst van de nacht. Mezelf te vaak bedrogen, te veel afgewacht. Maar genoeg is genoeg. Dit wil ik niet meer. Dit wordt voor ons de ommekeer. Overal gekeken en overal gezocht. Alles vergeleken en alles terugverkocht. Maar genoeg is genoeg.
Well, we're back in the car, having seen first of all the breakaway of 8 riders, including Durba the Turbo, Vic Durbridge, and another Jacob Alula rider. Can't remember. Bunch of other people. Oh, David Decker was in the breakaway as well. RK B&B Hotels, fast guy, but they're not gonna go too deep into this race. They only had 3.5 minutes, and then the bunch came through, and it was super exciting. And even though it's quite a narrow section of cobbles, I hadn't quite anticipated that they would all be using the pavement, the cobbled pavement, to the side of the actual road. So I nearly got taken out by Tim de Klerk of Lidl Trek, which would have been an appropriately painful Flandrian experience. But it was exciting, wasn't it, David?
It was very exciting. I mean, I tell you what I'm most surprised with is just how chilled out it is. Like, no police, no barriers. It's kind of free-for-all.
No closed roads.
I mean, Ben parked. We had its exit plan. Everything strategically in place. And no one cares. You just walk out. You could just drive. On the road until the last minute, couldn't they?
That's because of the respect. Respect the race. Respect the race. Right, now we're going to the Molenberg.
Eindelijk de wereld waarvan ik heb gedroomd. Eindelijk die eindeloze strijd die wordt beloond. En ik zie het nu weer. Alles komt goed. We gaan een gang.
Yes, please. So we stopped in Zottingham to fuel up. We've discovered a little hamburger, a hot dog stall, and we're loading up with some fried food to keep us going. The race has already been through here. Big festival is set up in the middle of the town, in the square. And I'll tell you what, it's windy now. Clouds have come in, and it's all of a sudden very Flandrian, isn't it?
It's very Flandrian. It's looking grey. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of. The tension's rising.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was actually just thinking, looking at screen 4, so I had 141Ks to go. Yeah, and the peloton is already looking kind of tense. So I think, contrary to years of where everyone waited to the end, everyone's just terrified that Van der Poel's going to kick it off with 100Ks to go or something.
Yeah, the Bergs haven't even started yet, so yeah. Gosh. Well, so we're going to have a quick sausage here, then we'll jump back in the car and go to the Molenberg. Yeah?
That's the plan.
Well, slight change of plan. We're not going to the Molenberg. I don't know why. I've got a bit confused because basically the Tour of Flanders is incredibly confusing at this point. Ben's all over the logistics. He's been all over catering. He's done us proud. Some of the confusion results from the fact that I've had a couple of beers.
Yeah, I've had a Domino's pizza and a Red Bull.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the five ambulances.
That is literally one of the five Tour of Flanders ambulances just going past
we
us.
We haven't seen what's going on, but I was just reading the live report, and it appears that Mads Pedersen is lighting the race up like a madman, taking Van der Poel and Jorgensen with him, and Stefan Kung dragging things back together. But it does mean the race is on, so hopefully by the time they get to where we are now, it's going to be proper hardcore racing.
So we're just walking, we've got a bit yomp along for about 1.5k. You can see the climb ahead of us, actually, the Berg. It's just on the outskirts of Ronse, and it's the older Kreis, what's it called?
Kreisberg.
That's the climb we're going to, and maybe we'll see the race go up it twice. So, but also in the car just now, you were telling us, David, it is a story you've told before, but it bears retelling. You were telling us about your most successful of your three participations in the Tour of Flanders. Well, actually, I think it was the only one you ever finished, wasn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, 2010. So I was on scintillating form. I just come second over on Criterium International, gone straight to Depana, won Depana, came to Flanders. Oh, this was all in the same week. And I had no idea just how strong I was. And I didn't have any experience at Flanders. And so about 230Ks in, I may as well have been blindfolded and just spun around in circles because I literally had no idea where I was, what was going on. And I felt like I'd just been riding past people for ages. And so I thought I was miles back. And eventually I got to a point where I wasn't riding past people anymore. And there was one, Antonio Fletcher was there. And I was like, Fletcher! Where are we in the race? And he was like, we're at the front. I was like, we're the front? He's like, yeah, well, there's only Bung and Cancellara at the road. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm going.
I'm going off to Bung and Cancellara.
So I went. And I'm wondering whether it was around here, actually, that I went. And I went, and then I was up the road on my own, kind of chasing them. And then Gilbert came across to me, Philippe Gilbert. And I can't remember the name of the other guy. So it ended up being three of us chasing Cancellara and Bonin in the final, like 30, 40Ks.
Wow.
And at this point, I was starting to kind of go a little bit cross-eyed. And we didn't have many team staff out on the road for some reason. And the few we did handed me up bottles of water. I can remember thinking, I don't need water at the moment. I need gels. I need kind of just any sorts of fuel. And I was fuming, so I knew what was now kind of the writing was on the wall. And sure enough, I couldn't get any, because we were stuck between things. There was no cars. So you were only dependent on your people at the side of the road. And coming up to Muir de Gramont, this is on the old course. So I was basically the final climb with like 15Ks to go. Coming
in of a finish, the Meerbeke finish.
Exactly. And the lights just went out. And I kind of got dropped going up the Gramont. Managed, there's a great picture of me still going up there on my own. So I was fifth on the road at that point. And got over the top. And somehow, at that point, when team car got to me, so I got gels. I was just shoving them down my face, and immediately it had an effect. So I kind of kicked back in, but it was a losing battle. I knew Tyler Farrell was in the group behind. So about 2 or 3 Ks ago, I got caught by the group behind of 20, 30 riders. And Tyler comes up to me and says, Dave, I've only got 150 metres in me. And I was like, all right, Ty. So I had to time my lead out to literally drop him off with 150 metres to go, which I managed to do, and he ended up getting fifth.
He won the sprint, yeah. So you did your job there. Yeah,
my job. So yeah, and I remember there's a great photo of me and him then sitting on the barriers afterwards just past the finish line, and it looks like we've been in a war zone, just like head and hands, just a kind of almost like vacant stares, shaking our heads, because for me personally, because I wasn't used to that sort of race, it felt like I'd been in a washing machine for 150Ks.
Flandrian washing machine.
I was just like, what was that? That was insane. And most bike racers have that after Flanders. They kind of come out of it and they're just like so, although they're so tired, they're so invigorated and excited, because it is like being a junior again, where it's just, it's absolute madness out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, good times.
This is so cool as well, isn't it? Because of the nature of the course, the last 150 kilometres of this course are just insane. They just kind of wriggles around.
Yeah, because I think I've used this description before. It's like you're given a small child. They've got to draw a line from point to point, and they've got about two-thirds of the way through and just given up and started squiggling around. And it's like, so you've got this kind of straight line going from Antwerp, sort of, diagonally down.
That's roughly our first cobbled sector there,
Yeah, and then it's like, just goes, I'm just going to carry, I'm just quite bored, I'm going to draw lots of circles here.
What's so cool is you just get a set, just like, because we're sector hopping now a little bit and just kind of dotting around. It's taken over the whole region, hasn't it? Because there's not, you can't actually get away from the race here. Even when we were just diving between point A and point B just now, you could see in the distance, not too far away, just a few couple of k's away, you could see the helicopters over the peloton, because they're not far away from you, even though they're also probably 80 kilometers away from you. And I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah it does when you're here, because it's the only place it can make sense. But there's also what is, and it's perhaps the first time I'm experiencing this, it's also relaxed. I mean, we're walking now, just groups of people walking to the next place. And I kind of said before, it's kind of as if you've got, the only equivalent in the UK is, you've got the Grand National, Wimbledon, FA Cup final kind of
Test match cricket,
all rolled into one. And everybody is into it in some way. Kind of, they're just all cruising around. It's part of the day. It's the national holiday, essentially.
Easter Sunday as well. Easter Sunday.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Dit is mijn huis, dit is de deur.
Well, I'm sheltering under a tree that has no leaves, just next to a beautiful old villa called the Villa Madonna, at the top, or very close to the top of the Neue Kreuzberg climb. And it's a horrible drag out of Ronce that just gets steeper and steeper. It's not particularly long, not particularly steep. It's a wide, straight road and kind of psychologically totally deflating. And bit by bit, the race is coming towards me. Now, last time we heard any kind of information, it seemed that Mads Pedersen might have been off the front with Gianni Vermeersch. Let's just have a look. The lead vehicles are coming past us now. What's happening, David? It's bedlam.
50 something k's to go. They're on your Quermont. Your man, Oskana, is going. Van der Poel's sitting pretty in second place. Mads Pedersen and Vermeersch is still ahead by about 15 seconds, 11 seconds now. But Van der Poel is just looking like he's just ready to go at any moment.
So we're in this little kind of like, I don't even know what you call it. This kind of clearing in the woods here, in between the new and the old climb here. The Kreuzbergers, Van der Poel moves to the front now, and they're pretty close to Pedersen and Vermeersch. They've dragged them back on the climb, so it's all come back together again. I wonder if Van der Poel's going to go right over the top here.
Yeah, he is. Look, he's going right by, and it's not a really super... Sorry, I guess because it's wet as well, don't forget. So you can't do the really violent acceleration of the cobblestones, but it's just, like, destroying the whole race. So Peace and Pedersen trying to hang on to Van der Poel as he goes straight by him.
Here he goes. He's got a gap now for the first time. Van der Poel has got a gap of about three or four bike lengths. I think that's it for the climb. So Pedersen... Whoa. Who's that who's got round him? UAE rider.
That's it, Soscano's there.
Oh, it's Soscano.
Lawrence Pitti, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pitti's there. So Soscano's chasing now Van der Poel. Pedersen's dropping back. There's somebody who's in trouble behind. So that's my... Yeah, Van der Poel on the road, on his own, got about 15 metres to a group of three riders. But it's just so wet. This again is to his advantage because he can corner, handle these conditions better than anybody. But still a long way.
Brilliant. And by the way, in there, in that crowd watching this big screen, it's got very, very Flandry, and all of a sudden it's soaking wet. People are packed in like sardines, struggling to get to the front where the beers are being served, and it's all just it's all kicking off. 55k to go. Van der Poel's got a slight gap. Oh,
Oh, they're on the Koppenbergen. Ivan Garcia Cortina was off the front with a 20-second lead, and he's got a mechanical. He's slipped his chain. He's trying to get back in the saddle, but Van der Poel passes him now with Jorgensen on his wheel. And Mathieu Van der Poel launches a big attack on the Koppenberg. It is covered in mud. It's pouring with rain. Van der Poel is off once again. Jorgensen able to follow him for now. And actually, the closer they get to the top, it looks like Jorgensen is trying to get across and succeeding in getting across. He's very nearly there, the American. Meantime, further back down the road, riders are just coming to a halt, left, right and centre. Riders walking up, Dylan Teuns forced to walk, Pedersen is after them. So at the moment it's Van der Poel, Jorgensen and Pedersen. Jorgensen's hanging in there at the moment though, nearly at the top of the Koppenberg. Van der Poel trying to break the American and get rid of him, and this could be the race winning move. It's still 44k to go, but Van der Poel now has got a gap. Okay, 37 kilometres to go, and it's done, isn't it, Dave? It's done.
Well, it's done by an accident from Mathieu Van der Poel, because it's just Mathieu Jorgensen, second on the road, 40 seconds behind now with 37k to go. I mean, he's just constantly taking time out of him. And it looks like Mathieu Van der Poel, although he didn't have to like go so deep by his standards, it was like one move, and then he's just been winding it up ever since, and he looks so strong still. It's amazing.
What do you reckon, Ben, from Sports Tours International?
Oh, he's looking pretty imperious right now. I think it's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Let's get another beer.
Yeah, he's got that kind of monster look about him now, and it feels like it's done. You never know, because he does have this weird track record every now and again of kind of just when you think he's got it, it can all come undone. But we'll see. Jorgensen battling on his own. He's at 44 seconds now, and then there's a much bigger group, a third group on the road that's just over a minute down. So I think Jorgensen fairly soon will probably be caught by that third group, and then we'll see what happens. But it looks like it's a battle for second place. And that is race analysis at its finest. And pretty soon we're going to go over and we're actually going to see Mathieu Van der Poel and the rest of them in around about 10 kilometres time come past us on the old Kreuzberg climb.
So, minutes ago, Mathieu Van der Poel won his third Flanders by a gap of over 1 minute to a chase group from which Luca Mozzato emerged, the young Italian rider for Arkea B&B, to beat Michael Matthews to second place. Michael Matthews finishing also on the podium, just as he did in the first monument of the year, Milan-San Remo. So he's having a really good year. But what a sprint from Luca Mozzato. That's head and shoulders bigger than anything he's done in his career. It's an astonishing result for him, really. And Mathieu Van der Poel, well, he had to win that, and he did win it. And he won it in pretty much the manner that we all expected him to win. And it was fantastic to get as close to him and to see him on that cobbled climb, the older Kreuzberg climb that we got so close. We got getting down to the side of the road was a bit of an adventure there on that climb, wasn't it, David?
Yeah, it was a bit Jumanji. We were just sliding down the banking, holding onto trees, and I got to say,
all the crowd on the other side of the road watching us as well, and kind of laughing and applauding
when people slipped. Because what I found most remarkable, because we had been standing at the top where you did a bit of commentary when Van der Poel was actually attacking on the Koppenberg and stuff, and we were in that viewing, he described it as that viewing spot we were in, then everyone started just kind of drifting off, and we knew that there was the cobbled road was somewhere over the other side, so we just followed the masses and ended up just going through a cut hole and a hedge, but then they kind of all disappeared, and then we just saw down this bank of just absolute overgrown shrubbery and trees and thorns, and saw the opportunity and took the gap. Yeah. And we got an amazing viewing spot. And thanks to Ben and the brilliant logistics of Sports Tours International, great leadership there.
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah.
Great planning.
Yeah.
And we did it. I got my great photos. We all managed to stay on our feet. and we got to see Mathieu van der Poel. It was about a metre away from us in full flight.
Yeah, winning Flanders. So the women's race is absolutely belting with rain now. We're heading back to our base in Ghent, and we're going to get in front of a telly to watch the denouement of the women's race. And last time I had any information from the women's race, it has about an hour to run still. There was a big peloton all still together, we think. And funnily enough, just about 10 minutes ago, we came to a little halt approaching a roundabout, and we could see, crossing the roundabout from right to left ahead of us, the following convoy of cars behind the women's peloton. There's a helicopter above. So it's absolutely bonkers how these two races crisscross this entire region, and the organisation that behind it all that makes it happen so flawlessly. It's absolutely phenomenal. To our left, we've got a couple of Astana team cars. Don't think they figured in the top 10 today, or anywhere near the top 10, to be honest. And that's it. So we'll pick it up with the women's race when we get in front of a telly and can tell you what's happening there. But I mustn't forget that there is another special offer for Never Stray Far listeners for the Roadbook. Use the discount code for the Roadbook 2023 bundle, which is NSF23. That code gives customers a further 15% discount on the book and exercise book bundle, bringing it down to £42.50 from a recommended retail price of £65. So that's a huge offer. It's a limited offer to Never Stray Far listeners only, and it'll only last as long as the books do, which won't be very long the way they've been set. My phone keeps pinging. I get a notification every time there's a sale made, so they're going fast. So that's for Never Stray Far listeners. Right, we'll pick it up with the women's race in after this bit of that's how editing works. There'll be a kind of I'll stop talking. Eventually the sentence will come to an end, and then we'll do some talking about the end of the women's race. That's how you can just play with time in a podcast.
So we're back at our Ghent hotel. It's one of those situations where I had to get the television channel changed because they were showing
Speedway. It's a rare thing to see these days, isn't it?
We're in Ghent, man. This is
Is that home of Speedway?
No, it's the home of cycling. It's home of saying what they're showing Speedway for.
Well, I don't know.
So we got it changed.
And I've got an exciting women's race on.
Very exciting. It's really good, actually, isn't it?
It is.
To summarise, we sat down and we literally watched the last sort of 5 kilometres, but we've just seen them up and over the final climb.
Yeah, so I think it was fairly together. There's beforehand, there have been some crashes. Our good friend Izzy Dignan looks like she was caught out badly in that.
Broken her arm.
That's not good. That's not good.
No. Never strays for cars, Lizzie Dignan, in fact.
Yeah, I know.
Just our good friend, our podcast friend.
Our sister. Yeah. And then from what I've read from the reports, because obviously we're in the car, Koppenberg just blew the whole thing to pieces. And now it's literally in pieces. And
so Lidl Trek have got the upper hand now because they've got Shilin van Android.
SD works on the back foot big time.
And Elisa Longoborghini has brought Cassia Nievedoma across, and these three riders, so two Lidl Trek riders plus Kasia, are off the front, but only by a few seconds to a group.
14 seconds.
Quite big, isn't it? And going out.
Yeah, that with a so like 9.5k's to go.
So Lidl Trek definitely in the box seat here, inside 10k to go.
But Kasia's got a work cut out with two Lidl Treks there. Yeah. So, but she's cutting her losses because behind it's Marianne Vos, Lotte Kopecky, Demi Vollering. It's like the hit squad behind.
Yeah.
So that's podium right there for Kasia.
Kopecky's looked a little bit like, from the bits we've seen, not quite her usual self. So 15 seconds going out. Looks like a bit too early to call it, but it does feel like that trio might have the win.
Especially if Kasia's committed and because she's happy with a podium, which is the way it looks at the moment.
Yeah, so you've got to be happy with the podium, huh?
Yeah, happy with the podium. Yeah.
It's Vollering and Kopecky who are doing all the work in the Voss group at the back here. But Kopecky looks like she's really laboured now.
Mm. White shorts.
Bold. Champion.
Yeah.
Back to back. Imagine that. Two world champions win in the same. Oh, the other thought occurred to me in the car. Over here. Was that Mathieu van der Poel's going to win next weekend as well, isn't he? Clearly.
I mean, it's hard to imagine him not winning next weekend.
Yeah.
In any circumstances, dry, wet.
It's whatever, drizzly, wind, headwind, tailwind, snow,
crosswind.
Yeah.
One leg, two legs.
Oh, Voss is coming through and working there. So that gap's gone out to 19 seconds. But,
All right. We'll drop out and come back near the end and let you know what's going on.
Ik heb geen nieuwsbericht berichten nodig. Vind de kranten overbodig. Laat mijn brieven ongeopend. Wijs de schuldeisers de deur. In mijn hoofd zit er een liedje. Het is een zomers melodietje. Met een Braziliaans muziekje. Voel me in prima humeur.
Alright, we're inside the final kilometer. This group three. I've got the race win. Cashin, have you done it?
Well, you say that. They're coming to pretty slow down at the moment.
Yeah, they're oh, yes, no, true.
There you go. Just got the long shot. I mean, obviously, objects in the rearview mirror appear closer than they are, but that group is coming in pretty hot.
Yeah.
Demi Vollering is just giving it all now. She's everything for Pukopeki. But yeah, these two little track riders, Kasia,
yeah,
Ivadoma, who'd been doing so much, just like decided to just pull the pin with K to go, and now they're really just... stop starting.
So Van Anroy's on the front, near Vidoma on her wheel, and then Elisa Longo-Borghini, who hasn't really got an acknowledged sprinter.
Elisa Borghini's just on the radio all the time, trying to just tell her teammate now to go for it.
So she just needs to, well, they need to commit to one tactic here. And Longo-Borghini needs to back herself to beat
They're on the radio to each other all the time at the moment.
How many metres to go?
I don't know, but the two little track riders are just now keep talking to each other. Kasia, Nivadoma, in between the two of them. There we go, sprint launches.
Well, Van Anroy sprinting off the front. Elisa Longo-Borghini under a bit of pressure. Nivadoma's got a chance here if she can get round Van Anroy. She comes round and now hits the front. And I think she might even take this, David.
It's looking that
way. No. Here comes Longo-Borghini. Longo-Borghini closes it out, takes a line, and takes the win. Elisa Longo-Borghini ahead of Kasia Nivadoma. So Lidl Trek got that right in the end. Shirin Van Anroy finishes in third place. Seconds later, the sprint for fourth is going to go the way of, well, it's not Kopecky, it's Voss.
Voss
from Kopecky.
10 seconds behind.
Yeah. Well, that was a decent finish to that race. That was
Trek pulled a blinder there. Lippin. Brilliant racing. Pulled
absolute blinder. Yeah, blinder. And so do we, David. A long day of podcasting.
A long day of podcasting.
Creeps towards an end, let's put it that way. I'm a bit talked out and, frankly, worn out.
Mm.
So,
good times, though.
Good times.
And to the same sounds of the St. Balth's Cathedral
very good.
The middle of Ghent. Holy Week comes to an end, David.
Holy Week does come to an end, and it does have a whole new meaning.
Actually, it's not true, does it? It's just about to start, isn't it?
It's Easter Monday tomorrow,
yeah,
and then we've got Paris-Roubaix next Sunday.
This podcast comes
this
to an end.
This is what confuses me. This is what confuses me about the whole Holy Week. But it has felt very holy today, and I'm very grateful to have been here to watch that.
And St. Matthew.
St. Matthew is, he'll always be more than a saint, he's a god to me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.